bonjour, bienvenue, and hi. It is your friends here at from adventuresinpoortaste.com, aka AIPTcomics.com, wishing you welcome to Adventures in Pod Taste, the AIPT Comics podcast, where we talk about all the things that Hotel Transylvania 3 has going for it, and literally nothing else. I hope you're ready for this fucking talk about werewolves and Speedos. No, there's going to be none of that, thankfully. I don't think I've seen more than a commercial for any of the Hotel Transylvania movies. My name is Jason, and I will be with you for the next hour plus, talking about all the nerdy things that ever nerded up Nerdtown. With me today, of course, is the Bodhi to my Johnny Utah, Mr. Dave Hildebrand. Say hi, Dave.
Nice. I'll give you props for that one. What's going on, man?
I was going to say,
you mentioned the Transylvania 3. I didn't realize there was three of those fucking movies until I saw the trailer the other night. I'm like, you got
literally a commercial in the background. Yeah, I can't believe that they've already made three of these things.
I haven't looked up the gross. I guess they're making more than the budget, huh?
I would have to assume, because you know what the thing is, though? It's another, like, Adam Sandler's buddies movie. So those are always made for, like, dirt cheap, so they can just fucking knock those things out back to back to back to back, and it never really seems to slow down, because for them, it's just like a vacation. This time, it just happens to be a vacation in a recording booth instead of going to, like, Africa, like that Blended movie, or Hawaii, like, I don't know, like, three or four of his fucking shit movies. Anyway, we have a guest tonight as well. You know him, you loathe him. If you are a Cyclops fan, you probably don't like that he's the most closely associated member of the nerd press to be attached to him. And if you are a part of the nerd press, you like to steal a lot of his clips, because we've got Chris Hassan on the show. Say hi, Chris.
What up, Nerdtown? And yeah. Hotel Transylvania expert, I guess, after that intro.
Yeah, man. So, like, what do you think is happening in this one? Do you think this is finally the one where Dracula fucking murders that kid?
Actually, what's funny is that I'm in the same boat as Dave, because I saw maybe Jurassic World, whatever movie. I don't know. I saw some movie recently, and that trailer came up, and it starts out with Dracula swiping on, like, Tinder. And I was like, oh, this is a clever. It's like Dracula's dating life. And then it was like Hotel Transylvania 3. And I was like, oh, I didn't know this even existed, this franchise. So that was interesting.
But he walked out of the theater, he reserved tickets on his phone before he made it to his car. He left them right out.
I hope this movie pass still holds up. Would you actually see Hotel Transylvania 3 if MoviePass wasn't about to, like, take a huge dumpster fire?
I wouldn't. I think if it was a film about, like, Dracula trying to date alone, and it was like that was the movie, maybe that would be interesting, but it looks like a piece of garbage.
Well, let me tell you about a fantastic film starring Eddie Murphy called Vampire in Brooklyn.
Oh, Vampire in Brooklyn's awesome.
That movie is not good. I don't know what you're talking about. Although,
that shit's funny, man.
His Igor or Renfield or whatever, his, like, familiar, that's somebody famous. Like, I want to say it's not Dave Chappelle.
It's Kadeem Hardison.
Is it Kadeem Hardison?
From a Different World, White Man.
Yeah, I know exactly who Kadeem Hardison is. Dwayne Wayne.
Yes.
Really? I thought it was somebody more famous. Man, you have a better memory of that movie than I do. But he plays a Haitian vampire who comes to New York in search of love. So, Chris,
it's entertaining for what it is. I mean, it's a different role for Eddie Murphy, and I think that's why he gets a lot of shit for it. But
I thought it was decent for what it was. I don't think he gets a lot of shit for it, because I don't think a lot of people know or remember this movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's violent. It's brutal. It's actually pretty damn bloody for an Eddie Murphy film.
I'd say, yeah, that's probably part of the problem, is that he takes it too seriously. And I don't know that at what point in his life somebody said, you know what you need to do, Eddie? You need to do a bad Haitian accent and tell no jokes. And he was like, yes, pass the cocaine.
Come on, when he blows away that cat in the Italian restaurant.
Was that in Vampire in Brooklyn?
Yes.
An actual cat? Or is
yes,
it
a... he literally murders a cat.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. I say cat a lot. Yeah, this is an actual cat. I wasn't thinking when I said that, yeah.
Is this movie on Netflix disc?
Probably. Or I'll mail you my copy.
I'll send you some smoke signals if it's actually a thing.
In fact, it might be on HBO or Stars. I thought I just saw it playing the other night.
Okay. It's definitely not on HBO. It might be on Stars. For some reason, I don't know if this is a problem. And hey, listeners, if this is a problem, tweet us about it. But my Stars app suddenly decided it didn't want to work with my Apple TV, either of my Apple TVs.
You should probably pay your bill.
First of all, like every responsible adult, I don't pay for HBO or Stars. My parents do, and I just use their password. And they're definitely paid up, so I don't know why it's just suddenly not working. I think like it's just something that happened. There might have been some sort of dispute, like how between Sony and HBO, there's some beef, but only Sony of America. So like the HBO Go app works in Mexico or Canada or Europe, but it doesn't work in the United States on the Sony PlayStation, which is the stupidest fucking thing, because I feel like we are probably almost assuredly the biggest market for both of those entertainment avenues, and they're losing, I don't know if they're losing money. I don't know how the new economy works when it comes to an app development. And there was just that bit of news about how is it Time Warner feels like HBO isn't profitable enough. They're going to start like limiting the run of TV shows and making fewer hour-long dramas. Yeah. Winter is coming, although a little too early, it seems.
And Chris, I looked up Vampire in Brooklyn on Netflix to see if it was there, and it's not. But they suggested that, hey, if you like Vampire in Brooklyn, you might like The Covenant.
Ooh.
Or fucking Jeepers Creepers 3, which could be so much further from Vampire in Brooklyn.
But I think I just need to get
thanks for that, Netflix.
I was going to say, the thing about those two, both of those recommendations are like hot young dude movies, like, because Jeepers Creepers, that whole series is basically an allegory for like male rape.
Well, the director's like, a fucking pedophile already. He's been convicted.
Is he?
Yeah, he's been convicted. That's why I don't watch none of his films.
The Creeper is a pedophile too. So like that's his whole thing. But then like the Covenant, if I remember correctly, is like the young fit dude bros that are witches.
I was gonna say, isn't it like the male version of The Craft?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the male version of The Craft, except they don't have like personality. Like, say what you want about you know, The Craft being fan service for boys who like goth girls, because it certainly was for me. Each girl had a character, each girl made sense, the acting was pretty good for what you can expect out of a teen focused witch movie in the 90s that went pretty dark, actually.
I enjoyed The Craft a lot,
but I think I've said it in the past before that I think that what's her name, Fairuza Balk, in that movie may have been like my first celebrity crush.
You didn't like her in The Island of Dark Dr. Moreau when she was like a mutated cat human hybrid?
First of all, get that furry shit the fuck off my podcast. Second of all, The Craft came first, so even if I did, it wouldn't have beat it chronologically.
We're doing.
She's not really a furry in that movie.
Furry show's coming up some other time.
What am I doing on the show?
We're doing poor taste later.
Yeah, I like to dress up like a chipmunk and go to conventions.
Oh God. One of my favorite memories of living in Boston, and Chris, you were living in Boston at the same time, so I don't know if you remember this as well, but there was that one year where there was like a gas leak at some hotel while a furry convention was going on. And so like all these people in like crotchless, like raccoon costumes just like had to hang out on the street while the building was like cleared.
You mentioned a raccoon. It might be Hildy.
I was going to say, I'm sort of interested in where the story is going now.
Where this crotchless raccoon costume's going? Well, that's unfortunate.
Can I Google that? I'm going to Google that. Y'all talk
about it. Yeah, I mean, got to assume you can Google it, because it broke up the newsroom that we worked at with laughter.
I don't remember this, but I actually was talking about furries recently at work. I don't understand. Stand? Like what is the main appeal of, I mean, we're going way off track, but what is the main appeal of furries?
Well, you want a fucking animal, but
I found a picture. I'm gonna show you,
like, arrested for fucking an animal. So,
but it's like cute, it's like cute animals though, like yeah, cartoonish, like
maybe it's that you want to fuck a mascot, like, okay. you saw like the Nebraska Cornhusker and you're like, yeah, that guy fucking needs to get it, and
what,
this is your chance.
I wonder if we can get some press passes of one of these furry conventions.
I sent you all that picture on Slack, so there you go.
Oh, you! I do not need to be checking out furry conventions. I think I know
can we at least like just message JJ tomorrow morning and ask seriously about it and see how he reacts.
You know what? I gotta say that that's a fairly tame furry picture that you got going on there. That's really just a girl in furry leggings. But the furry thing, you need the whole like fucking big ass head, like you're dancing at like a halftime show.
Yeah. I remember watching it was True Life on MTV, whatever, way back when there was an episode, and that was the first time I ever heard about it, and it was so weird. But
still, would you go to one of these? If you could like dress up and just watch and nobody know you went, would you go just to check the scene out?
No.
If nobody ever went, I knew I would go.
See, yeah.
Not a fucking chance. Still,
see, Chris, the people
said no too fast. Like he's already no,
the
in people, that position.
Yeah, but the people have got to be so weird. I don't. I mean, unless I'm being really bad right now to furries, and if I am, I don't care. But what is like? What is? I don't know. Like, is it like bankers like putting on their furry costume and going, or is it like upstanding citizens?
Financial institution for 11 like years, and I've never done it.
I'm sure that there are people who are fairly normal, except that their huge kink is that they like to dress up as like a fox and get fucked by a yiffy boyfriend who is a wolf. Like, yeah, I know some of the fucking slang terms around it because if you're a single gentleman who happens to sometimes look at pornography, you come across some of that shit sometimes, and holy fuck, does it make an impression? Oh my god, there was actually. So, Trash TV, we're way off topic, as a matter of fact, but Trash TV, I love the show Cheaters. I don't know if I've talked about
you.
It.
You're like, what?
Cheaters? Show where like they
know what it is.
They like hire a detective and they follow around somebody and they're always cheating. Well, it might be, I don't know. I don't have cable anymore, which is some hipster bullshit. Yeah, but it's all on Hulu, so I can watch old episodes of Cheaters. And I don't know if this episode specifically is on Hulu because they only have some weird assortment of episodes, but there was one where they followed the boyfriend who was cheating on this girl. And when they go, like at the end of every episode, they go and they confront the person and they're like, we've got this videotape of you fucking this girl, blah, blah, blah. But they follow this guy and he had been like going on dates with some woman and like, you know, holding hands and like making out on like park benches and stuff. And that was one thing. But when they busted him, they go into like this weird like business that he worked at that was shut down. And in the back room is like a fucking furry orgy. Like they walk in on like six people in like dog and like chipmunk and bird costumes having sex. And they have to like guess which one is the guy. Because he didn't go in the costume. He put on the costume there. And I think that the girlfriend smacked the head off of like two of them before the one of them like started to run and like, that's him. So yeah,
it's just scripted though. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that show's fake as fuck. Okay. Like even that time that Joey Greco got stabbed, totally fake. But anyway,
I guess I need to say, because I mean, I feel like I offended the furries just now, and you're right. You know, it's everybody's got their kinks, so I guess I apologize to the furries.
You answered no too fast for me, so I'm thinking that you've been there before.
Well, I have two thoughts here. One is that like if I ever run for office, the furries will come out against me very fast. So that's, I need to apologize.
I don't know if they're that big of a voting block, man.
But the other thing is,
I think it's probably actually worse to get the furry vote. If there's like a postcard that says furries for Hassan, you're probably in bigger trouble than anything.
Yeah. I think the thing that makes me not want to go to a convention and talk to them is, I don't know what it's a bridge too far for me to, it's a lot of steps you have to go through. And I don't know. It's just,
the barrier of entry is too high because you have to buy a costume
through the door.
You got to buy a costume and then like you got to hide behind the costume. But like, I feel like those people won't be the most social people. It'll be like people that have to like kind of talk on the internet and like don't want to go off.
I bet that they talk in a stupid voice. I bet that that's right. The fucking case.
I'd be so annoyed.
Even
when I go to conventions, like the super hardcore nerds, like I understand that I am in the geek world, but like I always have an issue with people that go too deep into the geek world. And I think because it makes it impossible to talk to those people unless you talk about whatever they're nerdy about, you know?
Sure.
So that's what I feel like with the furries. It's like they're all in on this and I can't talk about, you know, like olives with them, you know, they're going to want to talk about Pluto.
I put olives in my butt. Peppercorn, come on.
And then I just, yeah. Actually, that could be a good skit, though, like a date with a furry. First date.
No, I don't think that that's a good idea. Although maybe if you go to one of these, the because every comic convention that I've been to in the last several years has had like a speed dating booth. Mm-hmm. If you did that and then you got randomly paired with a furry, that might be something.
I've thought about it, like those would be interesting to like cover for the site.
Yeah,
the
speed I thought about it too. But I just started dating my girlfriend at the time. I was like, that's going to look really bad if I suddenly have an article about this. So maybe I'll talk to her about it first. I don't know, maybe at Wizard World this year. But I also feel like it might be shitty to do that to the people that you'd be paired up with. Like, mm-hmm. that might actually genuinely be, like, looking for, like, some sort of connection. And you're like, I'm just here to parade your freak show around on the internet, you know?
I mean, Tinder's not much different for some people. But there are people... There are people, I think, that there's like a whole little, like, they're trying to build their brand on like Twitter and stuff and social media, and they will like post their conversations from Tinder and different dating apps and like mock the people, and I'm like, that's not cool, because like people are genuinely looking for love out there and you're just kind of like using it all as material. So
I mean, I gotta be honest though, Tinder, though it's not the meet and fuck app it used to be, is still basically a meet and fuck app. It's. I'd say it's somewhat rare that people go on Tinder specifically looking for love. They're looking for like a date, to put it nicely. If you're on like Bumble or like Match or something, that's somebody who's probably like trying to look for actual love or like a sustained relationship.
Like Dracula.
Yeah, like Dracula should be on Bumble because it also implies puncture wounds, which we know he's into. Hey, you know what? Speaking of people who are into puncture wounds, the Joker is a guy who likes stabbing people, among the other horrible things he likes to do. And there's a horrible thing that's about to happen to him, probably, because it was announced earlier today that the Joaquin Phoenix starring Joker movie has been greenlit and is going to actually happen nowadays.
Yay.
Yeah, it's being reported by Verge and Polygon. Yeah, we finally got to see a solo Joker movie without Batman with an actor who kind of ruffled a lot of feathers and made people not like him a few years back. And who really hasn't proven in the interim years that he's worth our time.
I don't know. I liked her.
You know, that's on my list to see, and I haven't yet sat down to watch it.
I feel like that's a movie that I might enjoy, but I haven't seen it, and the praise for it hasn't been so astounding that I feel compelled. Like I need.
I mean, should we dig into it? Because this is the socially awkward dating with technology show, apparently.
I was gonna say
we're trying to find Dracula love. Yeah,
big leap from Vampire in Brooklyn to furry conventions. I don't know what the fuck happened, but it happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember how we segued into that.
I think we might need to just edit out the whole beginning of the show and start again.
But I'm thinking Jason has already inspired me. You know, I've never heard him say like meet and fuck. I think when I get off tonight, I'm going to work on a new app called Muck. So
no, I just call it meet and fuck. But you spell it with a Q. Spell it with a Q, like F-U-F-U-Q.
Together, it's the play on the words Muck.
I mean, I think of it more along the lines of the old George Carlin bit where he's talking about the sleep and fuck motel, and it's got that flashing sign, sleep fuck, and then when it gets really fast, sleep and fuck.
All right.
Yeah, so... most of my life is just George Carlin bits playing on the back. But this Joker movie, what do we think?
I really don't want to talk about it, to be honest.
People want to talk about this Joker movie?
I don't care at all, really. I mean, are you excited about this? Yeah, I mean...
I wouldn't say excited about it. I mean, do you think that a movie based entirely around a villain, even one who's kind of, like, unique, like the Joker, can work? Because, I gotta be honest, they haven't had a sustained series around a villain that works.
Well, it reminds me of Venom, kind of. Where we've just stripped away everything except for that one character, and they're going to build a whole movie around it.
Well, sure, but Venom is also sort of an anti-hero, and they also have the issue of Jenny Slate pronouncing symbiote the weirdest fucking way possible.
They're distracting you from the movie itself.
Yeah, big news. That's what they're doing.
Have they said who the director is yet or anything?
Yeah, Todd Phillips, I think.
What's he directed? I can't think of
him. Google it, man. Get up that Google machine.
Man, you are really putting your A game forward tonight, Chris.
Well, you start with an introduction where I was loathed by everybody.
Then I also said that Todd Phillips was stealing your story. Todd Phillips did Old School and The Hangover.
Oh, right, right.
I hate The Hangover.
Right. Yeah, lost Dave.
Not a lot of good things on here. He did Limitless, but the TV series, not the movie Limitless.
Road Trip was fun.
I don't think that movie's good. Starsky and Hutch?
And he did War Dogs. War Dogs wasn't bad.
Which one was War Dogs? Was that the one with...
Jonah Hill got fat again and then he sold guns?
With Miles Teller.
I gotta be honest. I fucking hate Miles Teller.
I think that...
What's that movie? Whiplash was really good in spite of Miles Teller. Like, it's more like we survived him than he made the movie good.
Well, he's good in stories where he's like playing kind of an asshole and like it just works once or twice, but like when he keeps doing, he's gonna be in the Top Gun sequel too now.
He's like the son of Goose. Is that what it is?
I haven't seen Top Gun, so
he's gonna play.
He's Gosling.
Yeah,
he's Ryan Gosling.
No, that was the joke that I remember seeing someone saying, like, why isn't Ryan Gosling getting this role?
Funny.
Yeah, no, the internet's full of jokes.
I gotta check it out after this podcast. I'll tell you something, though. This kind of segues to Ant-Man, which we're not talking about, but I'm segueing for a second.
Yeah, don't you dare spoil anything of fucking Ant-Man. I have not seen Ant-Man yet. And unlike everybody else, I actually enjoy that series.
Well, after I walked out, I was like... I am so happy that that's the last Marvel film for a while, because I always hate on people who are like superhero fatigue, comic fatigue. But I was like, man, I am this tired right now. Like, I don't want to deal with this for a while. So
you saw it opening weekend still.
No. Yeah. I mean, I like it, but like, I'm just happy that I don't have
to. I'm part of the problem. Don't worry.
Yeah, no, I like the films. I don't want to have to keep seeing them. And this Joker movie kind of ties into that, where I'm like, I don't need this. I don't want to see this, and I'm going to have to see it, but I don't want to see it.
I feel with Joaquin Phoenix playing this role, I remember when Heath Ledger was announced as the Joker, and I'm like, this is going to be fucking terrible, because the only thing I could think of was A Knight's Tale, which is a horrible fucking film.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, 10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You, exactly. I didn't mind 10 Things, though. I liked it better than A Knight's Tale. But,
I kind of enjoy The Knight's Tale, but it's not a good movie.
A Knight's Tale is me and Dave Brooke. Our screenwriting teacher in college he taught Brian Hegland, who wrote and directed that, maybe directed. He, like, it was his first wrote and directed movie. So he directed that, and he was like the golden boy for this professor. And he would talk about him every single class. And he'd be like, if you want to be like Brian Hegland and do A Knight's Tale. And I was like, I don't. Nope. Like, I don't think any of us do. But like,
you want to write a forgettable movie for starring an Australian heartthrob, you better listen up.
This guy was like, his whole class was like this, teaching us to write a screenplay that would be bought and then put on a shelf. And he's like, that's it. You don't need to have the movie made. Just do that and you get money.
Probably how you make the most money as a screenwriter. Yeah. Until you like sell that one that absolutely kills. Like, you probably make the most money by just selling scripts that maybe never get made.
Yeah, but it was a really weird experience, because he was obsessed with this guy. And I remember him telling me, he was like, you know what A Knight's Tale is really about? It's about becoming a screenwriter.
No one in The Knight's Tale is really about. It's about jousting. That's what it's about.
I'm not sure it's about that.
Do you remember that jousting became sort of a thing again for a little while there? Like, there was like, I feel like there was a jousting TV show. Like, that they tried to make a jousting league, and literally nobody gave a shit, so it went away.
Nah, I missed it.
We've now gone into the jousting portion of the show.
We're all over the place. Furries, jousting.
This was like what happened tonight was Jason, Dave, and I had nothing to do, so we said, hey, let's record a podcast.
We have a theme. We just haven't gotten to it, because every time a segue becomes natural, you motherfuckers bring something else up. We were talking about Miles Teller, and that was the perfect fucking segue, because I could be like, hey, he was shit as Mr. Fantastic. You know who would be better as Mr. Fantastic? And then we could say, say, oh, you know what we should do? We should pitch our own actors for Marvel movies.
But Jason, instead of just saying that, you've just told us that's what you would have said, implying you're not going to go there.
Yeah, I'm not going that way now, but it's too late. The fucking cat's out of the bag. That's what we're fucking doing tonight. We're casting Marvel movies with people we think would be better fits. These can be people that we know very well or people that we had to look up on IMDb to see if they actually kind of fit the part. Or it could be like a full fucking passion project.
Or like, it could be you, listener.
Yeah, it could be you, lucky listener. And you know what? Once we do this, I'm sure CBR is going to steal this one too, and they're going to go. Yeah. So if you're
sensationalize it too.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the website,
Is that?
That would be CBR.com.
No. Don't give them traffic.
If you're a fan of Adventures in Poor Taste, the website that is the birthplace of this podcast, you may have noticed that we wrote a story. This guy over here, who I'm pointing at my microphone, that doesn't really help. The Chris Hassan over here.
Hi.
Yeah, he did an interview with Russ Marquand. I think that's
Ross.
His name.
Ross Marquand.
Ross Marquand of Walking Dead fame. He also played the revitalized version of the Skull. Spoilers, yeah, I don't get like when you were, yeah, that movie's been out long enough. You can fucking talk about the end of that one. Ant-Man came out last week. On Friday. I don't have a chance to. Anyway, Ross Marquand, Chris asked him if he had any interest in being any other characters, and he gave a rather impassioned explanation of why he thought he would be good as Moon Knight or why he was interested in playing Moon Knight.
All we really talked about. So if I can give some context, this is at Comic Con. Spelled like Connecticut. It's at Foxwoods Casino, Resort Casino.
And, we're all hottest.
The hottest comic fans.
Hottest stars go to Connecticut's Foxwoods River Casino, whatever.
No, Resort Casino.
Foxwoods. Sorry.
He was there to promote Walking Dead, but also he was billed as an Infinity War star, but not at the actual con, only on the website. So I came there prepared to talk to him about Red Skull. And so I waited in line for a long time, talked to him, and he said, is this about Avengers? Because I cannot talk about Avengers. He's like, technically, since it's still in theaters, until it's on DVD, it's spoiler. So way to go, Jason. You just spoiled it. But so I said,
say that he was in that movie. I said he played the revitalized Red Skull. You're the one who connected it to the Avengers movie.
He's gonna call me. He's gonna be so mad.
Now that you and Ross are like buds, he's gonna be like, "What the fuck, man? We talked about this." And he's really good at doing voice impressions too. So he's gonna sound a lot like me, or he's gonna sound like David.
Yeah. David. He's gonna kill us. And then in a week, Pat Ross will be like, "Let's get this guy to do both of them."
I mean, shit. If you you know what? If you could get Ross Marquand to do this, I would step aside. He'd do it better than me. That guy's a star.
So I said, can we talk about other stuff? He's like, yeah, def. So I was like, who else would you want to play in the Marvel? Like, you haven't seen your face and your voice. And so he just launched into Moon Knight.
You said you haven't seen your face or your voice. So he chose a masked character.
Well, I think the idea is to play Mark Spector and outside too.
Right.
But he just started talking Moon Knight, and it was clear that he's a big comic. I mean, he mentioned like his FLIR cards growing up, like he was into Marvel trading cards and stuff. So he knows his stuff. But like, it was cool because to think about like, you know, I'm sitting there talking to this actor and just about comics, like, you know, I would you or Hildy, you know. So it was kind of a cool, surreal experience. But he was super nice, super cool dude. And something I'll say about him, I've been to a lot of cons now. And, like, you know, they're the guys who were, you know, not very friendly. I won't name any former X-Men writers, but I think you know who I'm talking about, Jason.
It's Chris Claremont, right?
Yeah,
that guy sucks.
who will make you wait for a half hour while he is supposed to be signing an omnibus, but actually is reading the foreword he wrote in the 80s.
He's reading his own fucking man, I was so good back then, man.
And
that's
my
impression of Chris Claremont. I don't know what he actually sounds like. I've never spoken to Chris Claremont.
But he was not a friendly man. But this guy Ross, like, I waited a long time in line, but it was really comforting because every single person that talked to him, he took pictures of them. He was genuinely interested in talking to them, and like, people came over and interrupted, and he like talked to them, and like, he was a really cool dude. So I really wish him the best, and I hope that he goes far in his career. I really didn't know anything about him before Red Skull because I don't watch Walking Dead.
Well, I hope he does get Moon Knight then. He sounds like a nicer guy than Brent Spiner. Awesome dude.
I haven't bullied a lot at cons. That's true. But so yes, I mean, it's, I don't know what's going to happen here, but it seems like a lot of people want him to play Moon Knight based on the reaction to that article. And
well, I think he's a very likable guy. Like I've seen him on The Walking Dead. I haven't watched the last couple seasons, so maybe he became a jerk. Maybe he died. I don't know. But he was a very likable character on that, and I've seen him do interviews and. There was a couple of clips that were maybe for like The Atlantic or something, or something that I saw on YouTube where he was doing impressions, and they were like all spot on. So he's a guy with personality, and he seems like he doesn't take himself very seriously. So the fact that I hear now that he's also good with fans, I wish that guy success. I hope he gets to be Moon Knight. However, I did actually make picks for who I think should be Moon Knight that are not Ras Marquand. I hope he gets it, but in the event that he doesn't, let's talk Moon Knight. So Moon Knight, a.k.a. Mark Spector, is a man with, I guess, not schizophrenia, but he's got multiple personalities. And he thinks that he's, like, the inhabited by this moon spirit, or, like, that his real self died under this temple in Egypt. Yada, yada, yada. He's basically... And I hate to say this because I know even in that interview, Ras Marquand said that people kind of use this to, like, diminutize his... contributions to the Marvel universe, but he's basically Marvel Batman, except crazy. Not to say that Batman isn't crazy, but you know. So you need somebody who's athletic. You need somebody who does martial arts, preferably. You need somebody who's sort of memorable and like kind of not memorable at the same time. You need somebody who can pass as many different people and who can do different things. So Ras Marquand's great because he can do the different voices. So, you know, he can have a Moon Knight persona and he can have a Mark Spector persona. But I'd be interested to take things a little bit more in the physical way and maybe shake things up. I know that it's sort of controversial among a lot of the, I'll call them shittier nerds out there to cast somebody that's not white to play a white character. But I would love to see Marvel get serious about Donnie Yen in the Moon Knight role. I think that in his show Into the Badlands, which isn't very good, but he's good in it, we've seen that Donnie Yen can act. Obviously, he's an amazing martial artist. I think that he could probably pull it off in sort of the Netflix-style TV show more than in a movie. If it was in a movie, I might go for... There's an actor by the name of Matt Mullins. Look him up on IMDb or Google him. I have a lot of questionable search history in preparation for this role because I got like the 20 hottest actors under 35. Mm. But Matt Mullins played Johnny Cage in that Mortal Kombat Legacy web series. So he does martial arts. He's an okay actor. And he looks like Mark Spector. That's, I guess, what my big thing with him was. He was a triple threat. How he acts... It's fine. Like, he didn't have to do a lot as Johnny Cage in that series. Johnny Cage wasn't the focal character, so I can't really say that he's got, you know, the chops, I guess, but I think that he'd be a good choice for Moon Knight. So those are my two, Donnie Yen, Matt Mullins. Do you guys have ideas who should play Moon Knight?
I'm still stuck on the fact that you call them shitty comic book fans. I would have
if
called
you
them
have racist. An issue with I would just call them racist playing a character that is historically white in a fucking movie, then yeah, you're shitty. I'm sorry. There's no two ways about it.
Not shitty, it's racism. So
yeah, that's a shitty thing. There's nothing not shitty about racism. If anything, it's disservice to shit.
That's right. We're coming for the furries or we're coming for the shit.
We're coming for the racists. Yeah. I feel no qualms about saying that. You're racist, shitty people. But anyway, Moon Knight, what you guys got?
I don't have any ideas just because I really... Ross has got to get this role because I'm right there with him. This is I helped make this happen, so I got to push for this. But I think those are good picks. I don't know the Mullins guy. But I know Donnie Yen, and I think that's interesting. I'll be honest, like, I don't know a lot about Moon Knight. I've read the recent runs, and I feel like they all kind of, you know, they're good, but they all kind of really tackle the multiple personalities and the is he crazy angle, so they all kind of bleed together. Like, Bendis did a run where, like, he thought he was the Avengers or something. Like, every issue was, like, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Captain America talking to him. So honestly, I also think that like every writer has a different take on what's wrong with him. Mm-hmm. So that's he's kind of a hard character to follow. I put Legion in the same boat, where they like the writers don't always know what to do with their mental illness.
Yeah,
and they kind of do whatever they want with it.
I feel like that it kind of ends up being like a crutch a lot of times. Like when writers don't know what to do with it, they give him multiple personalities, then he can be whatever we want him to be.
Yeah.
But you know, that kind of reminded me, since if you want to play up like the zany, crazy side of him, I don't know if you saw Get Out, but the guy who played the brother of Allison Williams is an actor by the name of Caleb Landry Jones.
Yeah, he was Banshee in First Class.
Yeah, I think he in Get Out pretty specifically proved that he can pull off like a menacing sort of dark undercurrent that would make him an interesting choice for playing somebody who's mentally unstable and then, you know, beats the shit out of bad guys with moon-shaped batarangs. I was only going to call them batarangs, boomerangs.
He's not Batman.
he basically is Batman. Dave, do you have any ideas or any opinions on casting a Moon Knight movie/TV series?
And I'm in the same boat as Chris. I'm not as familiar with Moon Knight as you guys are. But you mentioned Donnie Yen, and I think Donnie Yen would play better as a villain somewhere. But the whole time you were talking, I was thinking, what villain would I place him in? And I'm sort of stuck.
But I think Jason was looking for a Doctor Doom earlier, so.
Yeah, Donnie Yen is Doctor Doom. Because Dr. Doom is well known for all of his flashy wushu martial arts kicks.
My choice for Dr. Doom would be Christopher Walken, because that's the only way I'd watch a Fantastic Four film.
Well, Dr. Doom doesn't have to be married to a Fantastic Four no. movie. Of course, he famously menaced Superman for all those years. It's an inside joke. If you follow the podcast, you'll know what we're talking about. Chris, you were talking earlier about having somebody that you thought would be a good Dr. Doom. I could see Christopher Walken.
I can't at all. That's terrible. For the voice. Day. Sorry.
Like he's no, that's old terrible. And frail at this point, and I feel like that would kind of...
He's too spacey. He'd
have to be CG at this point.
Don't you want to hear his voice with that mask, though? Come on.
No, I don't. That's not who do it. See, that's the problem. What you're doing is you're falling into the Doom trap, which is like, let's make Doom fun, or like, what can we do? Like, no, just keep Doom as Doom.
Look, we've Doom already had two shitty Fantastic
Four films.
You can't fuck it up anymore with Christopher Walken as Dr. Doom.
I kind of lean more towards Chris's opinion on this one.
What is that?
I'm getting texts. Sorry. Hey. Yeah. Guess who doesn't know how to mute that shit from their
laptop. Being invited to more podcasts.
Yeah,
fucking amateurs.
Shut up. I didn't even promote my other appearance yet. Chris,
is that Ross Marquand call?
Yeah, that's exactly. He's like, hey, yo, motherfucker, I heard you were bad-mouthing Moon Knight.
Yeah, like, what's with Donnie Yen, man? You're not helping.
But Dave, Chris, who did you have for Dr. Doom? Yeah.
Well, okay, so I feel like can we segue to the FF movie? Which Dave is gonna tune out for this next portion. Like
Doom is a natural.
Get some
Chris. Or Dave, go get some water or something.
Go get a soda and some cookies. Cup. I had a really hard time thinking about the Fantastic Four. What I will say is, after seeing Incredibles 2, I was like, why is it so hard to make a good Fantastic Four movie? Because it's right there.
It made a Fantastic movie. It was called The Incredibles.
Right.
I haven't seen two, but the first one was the perfect Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, so it's a really easy formula to follow, and I'm excited that Marvel, if this goes through, like, will finally get something, I hope. I don't think Peyton Reed should direct it. He has expressed interest, and he was rumored way back when for the before in like Fox, but I don't think he's a very inspired director. His Ant-Man stuff's fine, but we need something like big and epic for Fantastic Four, because people like Dave don't want to see it, so it really needs to grab them. So I was thinking, like, who would I cast? And I don't think we should go the young route again, which is what they did with that terrible Josh Trank one.
Well, there was nothing good about that movie.
Nothing good. So that was terrible. So
even
I think
if I like certain members of that cast,
yeah. Oh, Michael B. Jordan is good.
Michael B. Jordan, of course, but also what's her name? Who played Sue Storm?
Kate Mara.
Yeah, Kate Mara. I think. I really enjoyed her in that first season of House of Cards. I don't know why I pronounced it that way, but yeah.
House of Cards.
House of Cards.
And it's about guitar players.
No, it's power chords, bro.
And we know you like Miles Teller, so.
Yeah, love that fucking asshole.
So I thought, okay, let's go older. And so I looked at the same list you did, Jason, except I think you did like the hot 100 actors. I did like this 30 actors over a certain age. But I did see that hot one. So I went with a choice that I think is very controversial, and everyone in Nerdtown will get mad at me. But if you let me explain, I think as Reed Richards, I'd cast Hugh Jackman.
What? Yeah, no. See, I knew we were going to get to X-Men eventually, and I was going to make the comment that you can't cast a like middle like proper Wolverine. You can either go Jimmy Hudson or you go Old Man Logan, because the perfect Wolverine exists, and his name is fucking Hugh Jackman.
Here's the thing, though. If you know Hugh Jackman, which I don't know him, but...
I just talked to him.
I know Ross Marquand. I don't know Hugh Jackman. The real Hugh Jackman is not like Wolverine. You know, he's a fun guy, and like he's got that sense of fun about him. And
yeah, but the real Reed Richards, if you want to call him that, since he's a fictitious character, is not a fun guy.
First of all, we got they are like a fun family team. So I think that they need to be like the first family of the Marvel Universe, and they have to be older and kind of like Superman and Lois. Like they're the elder statesmen of the DC Universe, like Marvel. They need these people up top. I don't know where they've been all this time, but whatever. So Hugh is like 40s, getting up there. But
no, he's in his 50s, dude. He's like 51 or 2.
And he was on the 40s list, but I'll be honest, those lists also had a lot of dead actors, so I don't think they've been updated in a while. But so Hugh Jackman, I feel like he could embody the fun, the intelligence, the compassion, the aloofness. But I really picture the adventure aspect. I feel like he's tried to get like adventure movies outside of Wolverine, like he was in Van Helsing and stuff, but like that stuff was crap. But like this one, he could really like shine if you divorce him from Wolverine, which no one can do.
Yeah, you can't. And plus, again, you keep getting hung up on this idea of making Reed Richards fun. He's not fun.
It's a fun movie, though. But I mean,
if it manages to be a fun movie, it's in spite of Reed Richards. He's the fucking straight man. He's the fuddy-duddy. He's supposed to be
He still has to be interesting.
No, he has to be a contrast. He's who you play off. He's the fucking dad everybody fucking tries to get around. Like, the people who make it interesting are Human Torch and then, to a lesser extent, The Thing. Like, their banter and their playing off is what would bring levity and the actual fun element to it. Then you got that contrasted with Reed, who's all up his own ass, and Sue, who is like fairly or not like thrust into the mother role for literally everybody on the team, including her fucking husband.
All right, so when I was looking at the list of actors, I was like, well, who could play Reed, who is like got a thin head and kind of looks like Reed? And I was like, oh, maybe we could do Edward Norton, but no, he was the Hulk. And I was like, Edward Norton, too, would be kind of pretty boring.
Yeah, he's also kind of a shitty person, it seems like, to work
with. He'd probably try to rewrite the script and then abandon the movie.
And that went really well with Hulk.
So there are no really any good options for Reed.
I disagree. I came up with like four that I think would work
Your turn. Your turn on Reed.
Yeah, so for Reed, I think there was a rumor going around for a while, I think like earlier this year, that John Krasinski, Jim from The Office, was going to play him. I think that's not a bad choice. I think a more interesting choice, if you want to make him somewhat older but not like your grandparents' age, would be Jake Gyllenhaal. I think that he's
Mysterio, man. He's Mysterio.
Yeah, but he's going to be wearing a fucking fishbowl.
That's the Marquand excuse.
Yeah, man. Masks and shit. Also, Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead. I think he could really pull it up. He looks enough like the character, but I'm a little more hesitant about him because I think he and the guy who played Ian, whatever his name is, who played Reed in the shitty Fox movies.
Yon Griffin or whatever it is.
Yon Griffin, yeah. I think that they are very similar actors, and so that kind of worries me about him being involved to it.
I think Lone Griffin had a great look for him.
The interesting one, although he's sort of a problematic presence, and I think his issues with the Me Too movement kind of pushed him out of fanfare and the limelight, but I think that James Franco might be an interesting
person. I thought about that one, too.
But yeah, that's my Mr. Fantastic. I also have a couple of Sues and a few things, but I don't really have anything good. For Doom, since that was where we were initially talking, while we were talking, I was thinking more of casting Victor Von Doom than Dr. Doom. So I was thinking of somebody who's like handsome but can like kind of play scarred and like weird. And so I came across the idea for Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, aka the Kingslayer, Jaime Lannister from Game of Thrones, who is a handsome guy and has played a mutilated cripple for the past couple of seasons on that show. I think he could do a pretty good job. Plus, he's, I believe, Polish or Swedish, so he can pretty easily do a European accent. He can be the king of Latveria. I think it works.
I went similar route, but I went with Ralph Fiennes or Colin Firth.
I'd go for Ralph Fiennes over Colin Firth. Yeah. I know that Colin Firth was like in the Wanted, not the Wanted movies, the Kingsman movies. Yeah. But he doesn't strike me as an action guy. And though you can probably do a lot of these scenes with CG because of the Doom armor or with, you know, stand-ins or whatever, I think that you should still have a physical presence. Ralph Fiennes would work for it.
I mean, it's kind of Voldemort, so that's a problem.
Or Liam Neeson, actually, now that I think about it. Because Ralph Fiennes and Liam Neeson, I put them like standing next to each other. I probably wouldn't be able to tell which one is which.
And I was casting a contemporary to Hugh Jackman, age-wise. Funny enough, for Human Torch, I put Dave Franco after seeing Disaster Artist.
I didn't know who to put, so I put the Sprouse twins from Big Daddy, and they had a show on
probably get cast.
they had a show on the Disney Channel that got really popular, but I mostly end up seeing them pop up on like my Instagram search bar for some reason. Like, you know, where you do that thing and it shows you all of the like meme pages or whatever. It seems like they have good internet savviness about them, so they seem like funny dudes. They're both young and in shape, and they look exactly like each other, so I don't know which one of them is a better actor, but we could choose both of them. I don't care. Cole or Dylan Sprouse, put them in.
Whoever's cheaper.
Yeah.
Who would you have for Sue?
I think that the best option that I found, and Sue was harder to cast because I like you wanted to keep age kind of mindful, but I also wanted to cast somebody who is like smart and intelligent. Not that those are different things. Rosamund Pike from Gone Girl kind of came up. She's a statuesque blonde beauty, and she clearly showed that she can deliver some really strong dialogue in Gone Girl and can get physical. So I think that she's a good choice for it. Otherwise, there's an actress from the TV show Hannibal who is also, I found out, a member of Mensa. Named Ellen Muth or Muth, M-U-T-H, and she, like Rosamund Pike, is pretty blonde girl and a decent actress, because Hannibal, at least the first season, which is the only one that I've seen, was really good, and she was good in it. So yeah, those are my choices for Sue.
I think Rosamund Pike, based on her performance in Gone Girl, would be a great Emma Frost if they ever did older X-Men.
Yeah, when she had like the shorter haircut too, it's sort of very Emma.
So with Sue, I, again, keep in mind, this is more of a fun, older FF. So I went with another wild card, which is Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks, I thought about. I looked at her compared to my other leading men, and if I go with anybody besides Andrew Lincoln, she's like 6 or 7 years older than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's who I went with. I think she could play, she did Power Rangers, but she needs like
a good movie. Because she's a good actress. I think that she's really funny, and she's another one that I found on list of like smart actors. So she evidently has a very high IQ, which makes her even
no dumb actress, please. Well, she directed the one of those Pitch Perfect movies too, so she's getting other stuff. For Thing, this is Dave's. Dave, you still with us?
Yep. just reading my phone. While y'all were talking, I was Googling stuff like sexy Dr. Doom furry costume. I didn't get what I was looking for, but I found a couple interesting pictures. So, yeah.
When I got to Thing, I was like, oh shit, I gotta get on this podcast. And I was looking through lists of older actors, and I'm not really married to this idea, but I'm like, yeah, this could work. We could discuss this. Russell Crowe as the Thing.
As the fucking Thing. I don't need his fucking grappling.
Well, I looked at like Jason Statham. I'm like, yeah, that's an obvious choice for like a tough guy. But like the thing is mostly about like the heart and like, you know, those eyes, the blue eyes, whatever, and you know, who he is underneath those rocks. So like, I'm sure Russell Crowe has done some moving stuff in his life.
Yeah, you know. I cast Jason Statham in a different role. I had him for Ares, the God of War. But for Thing, I went for a guy who is actually going to be in a comic movie, but not a Marvel or a DC. Although he might be DC now, I don't know. He ended up in that infamous game, but it's from where the hell are my notes? Jesus, from Stranger Things, David Harbour.
Oh yeah, he's Hellboy. Yeah,
he's gonna be Hellboy. So we know he can get into fucking shape, and we know he's not afraid to put on a ton of prosthetics. But he's also a good actor, and he brings like a growly, like tough guy sort of vibe. But he's got a lot of personality, and like in Stranger Things, he proved that he works really well with kids, which is something that as your big CG character, you probably want out of that guy. And it proves that he has a personality that can play off of a lot of people, and he can be silly, but he can also be stern. I think that he'd make a good Thing.
No matter what happens, what I hope is, you know, we've done this so many times now, this movie, that I hope they just stay true to the story and not try to mix it up. Because if you look at the history, the first one got a lot of things wrong. Like Sue's story. I think the biggest mistake is trying to make Sue like sexy, like just what's her face, Alba.
And you know exactly that it was Jessica Alba.
I know except Jennifer or Jessica. I didn't know her name because I don't really care about her work. But there are two in both movies. She's naked. There are two scenes where like she's invisible and becomes naked or whatever. And like I'm like, come on, like I don't know. Like she can. Sue Storm is sexy. She can be sexy, but she's sexy because she's powerful and intelligent and like this mother.
You don't remember when she was wearing that like one piece bathing suit and the thigh high boots and like the boob window with a four? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That's the one they want to bring to Marvel.
Yeah, that's the modern Marvel. Sue Storm.
If you look at the stories, it's like so the first one didn't work, so then they make them young, and then like and Sue was like adopted from like Kosovo, and Johnny was black, and then. Thing was like thin and like it like nothing wrong with that, like taking those turns as a director and a storyteller, but like it feels like they were just changing things up because we've already seen it. And I feel like it's the same way with X-Men franchises too. Like it's like, oh, we already did this, well, that's we already did the source material, so we need to do something new to keep people interested. And what I want to see from a Marvel Fantastic Four is just like those core characters or not, because the movies are gonna, you know, be forever. And, you know, people will discover them later and not even know about Josh Trank, you know. So that's what I would like to see from a Fantastic Four movie at Marvel.
We should probably move on to the X-Men since you brought them up, since Dave hasn't been able to actually interject because of his abject hatred of the Fantastic Four. So let's talk X-Men. Marvel probably is going to end up owning them again. It seems like the Fox deal is going through. It's nothing official at the time of recording, but, you know, probably tomorrow they'll say, oh yeah, by the way, Fox has now officially shipped all of its shit to Disney. But
Wolverine has arrived.
Yeah, Wolverine's gonna be in Avengers 4.
Spoilers.
But what's it called? I think that the role that I had, I had a couple of picks for Gambit, frankly, but the role that I think that is probably the most interesting to cast besides Wolverine, and we'll talk about him in a minute, would be Magneto, since undoubtedly he's got to be in it, whether he's the first enemy or they build to him. Jinx. I think that you need to go with somebody who is a little bit younger than, you know, I think that you're going to have to, at this point in time, issue, sadly, the Holocaust survivor thing, unless you want to somehow explain how, like, a man who's in his hundreds is still out there kicking ass and being a mutant terrorist. So I went with Viggo Mortensen as my Magneto, because he's got an interesting look, for one. Also seems like I haven't seen him play a villain, I guess, kind of in Eastern Promises. He was a little bit of a bad guy, but he's never really been villainous, which I think is a lack of effort. I feel like people really should find a good role for him as a villain. I think Magneto could really benefit from someone with the kind of gravitas that fucking Strider has. I don't know. What do you think about Magneto in MCU?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that's a good choice. He's got that anger there. It's funny because I was writing about Magneto before the show for X-Men Blue. And that actually touches on the Holocaust, that issue. So the Holocaust thing is tough because it works so well in Bryan Singer's X-Men. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're getting too old now for that. Because it's funny too when you think about, like, the last Holocaust survivors, like, they do not look like Magneto. Like, it's just possible.
Even Sir Ian McKellen would be too young to have been in like a concentration camp. Like, you know, he was playing older, which is, you know, a rare thing for actors nowadays. But
yeah, unless they're teenagers. This thing I worry about too. I mean, X-Men, we don't even have an X-Men in the theaters yet. That's finished, so I don't know how people will react to that. Because we just did Young Magneto too, which, you know, I wish Fassbender could continue with better scripts, but that's not gonna
happen. Viggo Mortensen's like in his mid 50s now, his early 50s, somewhere around there, so he's older. I don't know, maybe you make him a victim or a survivor of like the Armenian genocide or something like that. I actually don't have a good frame of reference of when that happened, so maybe that happened around
the same time. They could just make something up too, like mutants or something. I mean, they've got the mutant problem, which is where the mutants come from, too. So that's a whole other thing to work out. But I think I honestly didn't get far into this. I did like one or two. But like, then who would you have as Xavier?
That's a tough one for me to think about Xavier. I don't think that they've had a good Xavier except for Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. But now, much like we're talking about Patrick Stewart being too old, I think that... Well, like Sir Ian McKellen being old, too old. Patrick Stewart is obviously too old, especially if he's going to be contemporaries with someone like Viggo Mortensen. And you got to find somebody who isn't going to look weird bald, but is going to look maybe a little weird bald, like the right level of weird bald. Yeah. I actually don't think I came up with a good choice for Professor X.
Well, what about Vin Diesel?
No.
That's a joke of yours. That's
hashtag
a joke.
Not my Xavier. I don't know, Dave. Do you have an idea for who you would cast as Professor Xavier?
Probably himself.
It's funny because you all picked like the two groups that you know. I don't read.
I know we taught Dave about the X-Men.
So I'm going to go. I've seen Christopher walking in a wheelchair. Let's put him back in it.
Yeah, because he and Viggo Mortensen, peas in a pod.
You've got some kind of side deal with Walken. You're trying to get him a Marvel movie.
Like, I don't know.
A Marvel film, man. I dig. Walken's one of my favorite actors, man. I always thought he was cool in Batman Returns as Max.
It's Katie. Not Katie. That's the guy from Shrek.
Yeah.
Donald
Trump. Yeah. Shrek.
That was a fun role for him, you know, so it's cool. He's been in a comic book movie, so. But I don't know. I'll give you Viggo Mortensen for Magneto. I dug Eastern Promises.
Yeah, that's good.
X-Men is one of those ones I would just have to sit down and try and piece it all together. As far as I go with those movies, I've seen, you know, the first three, and then I skipped around, like, a lot. And what, Apocalypse is a horrible one with Olivia Munn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the trailer with her in it, and I knew that was going to be a fucking train wreck.
You have so many random hatreds that I just
There was a show where you talked about Olivia Munn, right?
Well, I mean, she's not an actress. I mean, and as soon as I saw it in the trailer, I'm like, she's not going to say more than five words.
She's an actress now. She's been acting for a while. She's in Predator, the new Predator movie.
Well, guess who's not seeing that Predator
That's not
movie.
Setting a high bar. Yeah. I liked that last Predators movie, though, now that I think about it. The one that had Adrian Brody or whatever.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jason. And Dave, too. Sorry.
Nah, leave me out.
I'll ignore you. do you want to see another young X-Men movie, or do you want to see like an older Jim Lee movie? Where I'm sure, I guess if you talk to Chris Claremont and Jim Lee, they'll tell you like the X-Men were in their 20s or teens when they're doing that run, but they all looked like they were like 40. Like when I grew up,
I wouldn't say 40. I'd say like mid 30s.
Yeah, I grew up thinking like they're all adults.
Cyclops, I like to think, is like the oldest main X-Men before you get into your Wolverines and your Cables and maybe Beast.
I think Beast is older than Cyclops.
Yeah, exactly. I always thought of Cyclops in X-Men Blue, or X-Men, adjectiveless X-Men 1, as like 33, 34. Mm-hmm. That was the age that I had him at there. So that's kind of where I went with a lot of my casting, although I did also cast for some of the young X-Men because that's a thing now, even though I think it's dumb.
All right, so let's hear your Cyclops pick.
I actually didn't come up with a Cyclops, but I've got a young Wolverine and an old Wolverine, Old Man Logan and Jimmy Hudson. I got a young...
Yeah, so you, instead of doing one Cyclops, you did two
Wolverines. I got a young Iceman and an old Iceman, and I got all Gambits of around the same age. I didn't have time to go through a Cyclops at that point.
All right, let's see what you got here.
Who's your Cyclops, though?
All right, so here's the thing. So if we go young Cyclops, I have no one. It's just some young kid. I don't like the current Cyclops, Ty Sheridan from Ready Player One. I don't think he really fits Cyclops.
He's got weird lips. And if you're going to be wearing that stupid headset, then you better have some cool-looking lips.
I think James Marsden, I mean, he looks like an older Cyclops. He was good for that. I mean, he didn't really do much in the movie, but visually he was good. So if we do young Cyclops, I don't know. But the real tough thing of Cyclops is young Cyclops is, like, scrawny, slim, and, like, you know, geeky and shy. Older Cyclops is, like a jock, kind of, like the way he looks. And, like... So if we're going older Cyclops, I thought a really good Cyclops would be Armie Hammer.
Well, he's got that vanilla all-American white dude look, which I guess is pretty much what you're going for with Cyclops in the first place.
He can act. He's good. I think Armie Hammer is really underrated. I think
he was okay in The Social Network, but...
Yeah, he was great in that, and then Call Me By Your Name was good. But he was going to play Batman in that.
He was going to play Batman, but...
That would have been before all that stuff, so that would have been crazy. But yeah, I think Armie Hammer would be a good older Cyclops leading the X-Men. And that's all I got to, because I had to get on this show.
With Wolverine, I think that there's somebody who they've been talking about playing like a young Wolverine, but I think he mostly works as Jimmy Hudson because he looks like a young, blonde, rough kid. And that's Clint Eastwood's son, Scott Eastwood. Looks just like fucking Jimmy Hudson. He looks like a rough and tumble boxer type guy, and he's got blonde hair that kind of spikes up a little bit. He could be a good Wolverine Jr. sort of thing. Have him in a movie going up against fucking Dokken or something like that. They won't do that because I feel like having to explain the Elseworlds, people will be like, what the fuck is this? And that's going to be too much of a jump. There is an actor that's on the show Queen of the South on USA that I only know because I see that commercials all the time during wrestling, who looks like Old Man Logan. He looks exactly like him, except that he often wears a handlebar mustache, which, let's be real, Wolverine should rock a handlebar mustache. And his name is John Piper Ferguson. Look him up on the Google machines, on the IMDBs and what have you. I think that he's a good fit for Old Man Logan. If you don't want to go super Old Man Logan and actually cast Clint Eastwood in that fucking role.
Well, then you can do Clint and his son.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think that it's going to casting Wolverine would be the hardest part because, like I said before, people love Hugh Jackman in that role. Like that made him a star, and he is unquestionably a fucking star because of Wolverine. He's done great things since then, and you know, outside of the X-Men series, but like that's what people think of when they think of him. And now when people think of Wolverine, they think of Hugh Jackman. So getting somebody else to play that role would be really hard.
But he's already playing Reed Richards too, so.
Nobody's playing Reed Richards, man. Didn't you hear Dave? That's not going to happen.
Oh, sorry, Dave. Can I give you my Wolverine?
Yeah, who you got?
Patrick Hallen. He's a gaming editor.
You're just trying to like make up to that guy because.
No, I honestly am not. JK.
Yeah. Okay. For Gambit, I came up with a couple of interesting choices. Like, I think Kit Harington. No, that's not. That movie, you know damn well that movie is not. I think Kit Harington would be a good one. And he's a big enough star that he could launch maybe something, but a small enough star that you could put him in an ensemble movie and he wouldn't feel too out of place. But if you really want Gambit to be a background player, there's this French actor from the movie Hannibal Rising. I did a lot of Hannibal research. his name is Gaspard Ulliel, or Ulliel, I don't know. My French pronunciation is somewhere between Pepe Le Pew and not. But he looks exactly like fucking Gambit. That guy is basically who you draw when you draw Gambit. And I think he'd be the best fit for that role. I don't know. Is there any other pet project that you want to see appear in these movies?
Character-wise?
Yeah.
I like a good Jean. I feel like they've cast bad genes
I thought Famke Johnson was great.
I like her. Wasn't real Jean. She's going to be at Boston Comic Con actually in next month. But
yeah, you should tell her that you think she sucks, but that everybody else loves her.
Hey,
guess what, Famke?
My buddy Ross Marquand. what I didn't like about Jean was, they kind of changed her character like a lot in that movie, which one of the worst things Bryan Singer did. But like, she was Dr. Jean Grey, which is dumb.
First of all, you need to think about the worst things that Bryan Singer has done.
All right, edit that. Have some
movies, but
the worst thing Bryan Singer ever did was changing Jean. No, but she was Dr. Jean Grey, which Dr. Jean Grey. I remember reading a lot of interviews before, like, they aged her, like they made her older than Cyclops, and they're like, this will make a good dynamic because Wolverine's older and like she's in the middle and Cyclops is a kid, and I thought that was weird. And then they also, she didn't have the red hair, like it was, I remember buying the toy and it was like brown hair Jean, which I was like, one of her main things is her red hair, like it's like a really dull red. It got redder in the later movies, but like there was just all,
her hair is on fire. You've got an issue here.
No, it's just a lot of things, like, this is, like, very fanboy, but I'm just saying, like, they made a lot of changes to Jean, which I took as, we don't think Jean is interesting, so we need to change her and do all this other stuff. Where that's, if you read the current comics, like, Jean is killing it in X-Men Red and stuff. But, yeah, that showed me, like, a disrespect to the character. I mean, let's not, Storm was terrible. Like, they are all terrible takes.
Well, Storm was cast so that they could have Halle Berry in it, and let's be real. She was the biggest star in that first movie that wasn't named Patrick Stewart.
And I don't know how you look back at that and say, like, yeah, that was the haircut for Storm, those bangs.
In the first movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, her wig was terrible in that movie. She also got the famous frog and lightning line. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is all really nitpicky, whiny nerd stuff, but this is just...
Literally what we're doing. We're fan casting a movie.
But yeah, and then the new Jean, what's her face? Sophie Turner. I don't think she's very good. I don't like any of the new young cast either. I want like a good solid Jean that is like the Jean. Like if you look at the comics Jean, like everyone, I mean Wolverine and Cyclops, like they idolize Jean. They want Jean. Like, do you look at these Jeans on screen and be like, wow, these are great characters? Like, no, like they're just kind of there.
You're buttering this shit up so much. Who's your choice then for Jean?
I don't have a choice. Like, if you had like a young Jean, like, you know, you could.
I have a young Jean, and her name is Catherine Langford. She's from the TV show 13 Reasons Why on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I have seen not that either, but she looks just like her, and that show has a lot of very good reviews, so I'm going to assume she can act. But my pick for age-appropriate Jean, she's not older Jean, she's not younger Jean, she's more like mid to late 20s, even though I think that the actress herself is young, like early 20s, and I'm going to butcher this pronunciation because it's like Welsh or true Irish, and so I'm going to murder it. Saoirse Ronan?
Oh, yeah, Saoirse
Ronan. Saoirse Ronan, yeah.
I thought about her. I mean, she's like a youngish, but younger Jean. I think... obviously, like an Emma Stone would be great as like a teen Jean, young Jean, like spunky and stuff. But she would never do that role. But like you could do like a retro 60s thing with like a great cast with like Emma Stone and stuff. But
we've already done the retro 60s X-Men movies, man.
Yeah, they weren't in it though. Not the original five.
Banshee and Mystique. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we got there in the 80s now. So, All I know is get Bryan Singer and Simon Kinberg far, far away from this movie franchise.
Well, keep Bryan Singer in jail. Like, get that guy the fuck away from
movie sets, schoolyards.
children, from men that aren't also in prison. Like, yeah.
I thought he was gone. Like, I thought he was... But, like, I saw a news story recently. It's like, Bryan Singer clarifies Days of Future Past. And it's like, what? And, like, on Instagram, he posted something. Like, go away. Like, why are you talking about Days of Future Past?
Yeah. Like, I don't need to hear about what Kevin Spacey's up to now either. Like, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we're actually well past our hour.
Did you have any other movies that you wanted to cast that we didn't get to?
I had some interesting choices for She-Hulk. both the Sam Alexander and the Richard Rider versions. Not particularly crazy. I kind of thought you guys would prepare more for this, but hey, you know what? Whatever.
Prepare for the furry part of the conversation.
Yeah. we ended up talking so long about fucking people in raccoon costumes that we just, you know, sometimes the conversation gets away from you. But that means that it's now time for Dave and Maya's favorite section of the show, because we get to shut up for a little bit and listen to, more often than not, it turns out, Chris. During the Defend Your Poor Taste segment, we ask that our guests talk about something that may be a guilty pleasure to others, but they're loud and proud about. Something that is a little weird that they're kind of into. In the past, Chris has regaled us with his love of cookie cups, of olives, of salt at the bottom of a bag of pretzels. What else you got?
Guy Fieri was last time. This is tough, because I don't know. I have, like... Can you give me a category that I can find something in?
I'm going to say not food.
Yeah, because I can go the food route very easily.
Just admit you went to the furry convention.
Yeah, it's like when I get my costume, my chipmunk costume, I check into a hotel. No, give me a category. Dave, someone help me out here.
Movies.
Okay.
Woody Allen apologist. That's
oh god, no. I've already offended the furries. I don't need to get into that. Let's see. Yeah, I do like Woody Allen movies, but I don't want to get into that. Let's see. What kind of movies do I like to watch? I don't know. I'm dying here. I'm dying up here. I don't really watch bad movies. Like, I don't really rewatch a lot of movies. Like what I said earlier, I don't have 4Ks.
So every film you've seen is gold.
Yeah, but see, I don't like buy. Like, if I watch a movie that's bad over and over again, it's like it's a good movie then by my standards. Like, so I'm not gonna call it bad.
So what's a bad movie that's a good movie by your standards?
Okay. Well, I guess here's a poor taste. Like, I own the first Michael Bay Transformers movie. And, like, I bought it when it came out, and I hate that movie, and I trash it. But then...
I feel like you have a love-hate thing, because you always are the one on the site and everywhere talking about Transformers movies.
Yeah, because I'm a Transformers fan, but this Michael Bay stuff, it's like being a fan of America, and right now Trump's president, and you're like, we're going to get through this, it'll be okay. Like, but I got to stick with this country. So that's probably, like, what it's like for Transformers. So I'm actually very excited about the new Bumblebee movie, because it looks great,
based on because John Cena's in it, yeah.
Yeah, I could have done it. But, so I saw the second Transformers was, like, racist and terrible, and I walked out fuming because it was so terrible, like, and I brought friends to see that one, and they were really mad at me because, like, why did you bring us? So we went to see it at IMAX too. Like, we went all out, and they're like, what the hell's the matter with you? And it was up there. There's, like, racist robots and, like, all immature ball jokes and stuff. And it's like, this is not a reflection of who I am. This is not what I like.
As he's Googling the release date for part 3.
Yeah. Well, no, so then
it's been like 5 now, right?
No, yeah, but he said at the 2 at the time. So as he's walking out, he's defending, you know, why he went. I said, as
defending my, literally defending my poor taste.
Yeah, there you go. And I said, but, as he's Googling the release date for the third one. Which, so, by the way, I've always seen the first of those one first, of those.
How much of your appreciation of those first two is Megan Fox? Shia LaBeouf, because both are fucking terrible, but some people find them good to look. I don't know that I would say the same, but I don't know that I would call Shia LaBeouf hot, but I've had women say that, and... a couple of men say that, but I don't get it. Well, I don't
only
see it.
Current like Bohemian artist Shia LaBeouf. But then the third one came out on Blu-ray, and that was right when I bought a Blu-ray player. So I bought Captain America: The First Avenger, and then I was like, "Oh, what else can I buy and test out my Blu-ray on?" And I bought the third Transformers on Blu-ray, and it's a bad movie again.
That Dark of the Moon or whatever, yeah, was that Dark. The one where they destroyed Boston?
No, Chicago. It was Chicago. It was
Chicago. Yeah.
How are you still alive?
I live in rubble every day, bro. It's Chicago. Don't you listen to Trump? It's gun violence all day, every day. That's it. It's a hell.
But actually, so I was rewatching some of these Transformers movies, and like they're bad, but you know what? They're actually really funny. The acting, because like Stanley Tucci, Kelsey Grammer's a villain in one of them. Like they are like all in on these performances. So I guess thank you. You guys helped me, because those are bad movies that I enjoy watching now. So
Yeah, you disgust me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you did again. Thank you.
Then let's move on to our weekly picks, where we talk about what we're reading, watching, and playing to kind of give people a window into what they should be checking out in the nerd world. Dave, since you've had so much to say about these movies tonight, why don't we start with you, what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're playing?
I actually read a bunch this past week. I caught up. I didn't realize I was so far behind on Deadpool, so I read like a year's worth of Deadpool because I wanted to check out the new series that began. So I finished up all that. I don't know if I really have an opinion on it. It was all right, but
you read a year's worth of Deadpool, you have no opinion.
You know, and the new series is only two issues in, and it's all right. I don't know what to expect anymore from Deadpool. I don't know if writers what they're expecting to do either. It's like this one feels like who's doing it? Scotty Young? I feel like he's more taking the cinematic approach with these first two issues. So I guess we'll see where he goes with that. And I caught up on Tom King's run of Batman because, you know, the wedding was spoiled for everybody. So I was like, well, and then I read at the end, you know, something happened that, you know, no one has really spoiled yet. So awesome. I burned through like the that. 10 issues or so that I had to catch up, and then I read the wedding issue. And
did you like it? I remember you were pretty pissed off that you bought all the tie-ins and then it was spoiled.
Yeah, the wedding issue, I mean, like, I was talking to someone the other day. I didn't think that, or we might have talked about it last week on the podcast too. I didn't think that they were going to get married, and I was going to be fine if she like got killed, you know? I mean, I didn't think the wedding would happen. But that being said, I mean, the art was nice in the book, but the story itself, you know, for 50, I was like, eh. I enjoyed the issue before that where Joker blows up the church and
I hated that.
He's laid out with Catwoman. They're both bleeding to death. I thought that was a better issue.
I thought that was so bad.
Really?
Anytime they're like, it's very Bendis. Like when they're talking like, you know, like, what were they talking? They're like, what's up with Penguin's umbrella? And they're like, yeah, what was with the deal? Like, do Penguins have umbrellas? Like, it just seems so, I get it. It's like fun and quirky, but it's like,
but you're trying to kill each other. They're bleeding out, man. They're not thinking straight at all.
I think
he says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to kill you, you know?
Yeah, but that's so much like the Alan Moore killing joke thing, where like, it wasn't like, or one of those stories where like Batman and Joker are like, one of them's dying or whatever, and they're both sitting there just talking like normal people. And I think that's like something everyone grew up with and like respecting so much that now everyone's like, I need to do that moment. That's how I viewed it.
Well, I thought it was good. I mean, you know, I respect your opinion and your olives and your racist transformers.
I was going to say, wait, you do like respect his opinion.
But I like the wedding issue a lot because I went in completely unspoiled. And I was like, yeah, that was great because I didn't know any of the spoilers. Like, I knew they weren't going to get married too. But like, and then King kind of reassured people. I think this is only at the halfway point of a larger story. So I still don't think they're going to get married at the end. But, you know.
But see, the end panel, which I'm not going to spoil that part, obviously, for people that haven't read it, you know, that happens. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, I have no doubt that he'll carry it and do something with it, but for that book to end the way it did, I was sort of, I don't know, I was hoping for more than that, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, we'll see. He's got 50 more issues. I don't doubt he'll end it with a bang, but I didn't think that all the build-up that we've gone through ended with that final scene in the book, but whatever.
I thought it was good. That was good.
Oh, yeah. Final. Yeah. You like racist Transformers, too, so.
I do not defend racist Transformers. That's the one I don't own, too. That one's terrible. That's a lot of racism in that one.
Anyway. Watching. It's still the World Cup, so I've still been watching a lot of soccer, and then...
Who are you going for at this point?
Well, I figured whoever won today between France and Belgium is going to win it, because Croatia and England is not going to have a chance against Belgium or France, so France
it won. Is coming home, bro.
I'd like to see England win. I really would. But I don't see them beating France. I don't see anybody beating France. So, and then Ronaldo signed with my Italian team, Juventus, today, so That's pretty cool that I want to see him play for Juventus. I'm already thinking I'm going to search around and purchase myself a jersey. So,
have you ever played in the World Cup, Dave?
Ever played in the World Cup?
Yeah.
On Xbox. What are you talking about? Have I played in the World Cup? I'm not a professional.
Yeah, I was wondering where that joke was going.
I know. I'm like, what's
the joke?
Going?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Turn on your fucking Transformers.
Yeah. And he's been playing FIFA on Xbox, presumably.
No. I haven't had time to play lately. David, our lovely media content editor, he will text me every now and then. Manager, editor, we love him, whatever he does. He wears many hats. Anyway, he usually texts me if he does well in PUBG, so he texts me, I think, Friday night, and him and his team won a game, so I was like, well, fuck, I want to get on and play now. So now we have that terrible, I call it shit town, that rocky-ass map on PUBG for the Xbox. And I actually played all the way through and got my first win on it, so progress. I didn't think I'd win on that map for a long time, if at all. It's a wide open map, and you just have to keep running. There's like hardly any cover, so you just got to be quick on the trigger. And that's about it. What about you, Jason?
Reading, I've been slow to kind of catch up on Batman and White Knight. I'm still on like issue 5 or 6 at this point. It's a really good series. I really want to give it more attention. I don't know. I feel like it's very well written, I guess, is the thing. And I do enjoy the art, I suppose, but really Sean Murphy is what's bringing me to the game here. I like the take on the Joker is really interesting. So that's, as far as comics go, that's kind of it as far as what I've been reading. Watching, now that it's on HBO, I finally got to check out Justice League, and it was bad, but not as bad as everybody kind of like has been telling me it's gonna be. To be honest, I kind of liked Aquaman's broiness, that he's just like shaka bra everywhere. I didn't mind Cyborg's CG. I know that was an issue with a lot of people. Superman and Batman were dumb. The Superman upper lip thing, it's the very first fucking scene. It's the first thing you fucking see. It's so undeniable and awful. Like, his weird upper lip. Like, that was the scene that they had to reshoot? Like, what the fuck? Like, what was the point of that? I don't know. It wasn't a good movie. I think that they kind of ruined Wonder Woman, as a matter of fact, in it. It makes me kind of nervous for what Wonder Woman 1984 is going to be like.
I agree. That opening scene with her, like, running in slow motion and blocking all the bullets, I thought, so fucking terrible.
She beats up Roose Bolton for no reason. Yeah. Well, for no reason, like he's a terrorist or whatever.
But the next one takes place before this, though, so it really wouldn't have an impact.
Sure, that's how that works. so it was bad, but it wasn't super bad. I don't know. I'm looking forward to this Friday because it's Friday the 13th, and that means that I get to do my traditional Friday the 13th movie marathon that I do every Friday the 13th. Unfortunately, the sandwich place next to my house that used to give free sandwiches to people named Jason on Friday the 13th is fucking closed now. So I'm going to have to search for my own sustenance.
They're just probably make your own sandwich.
It's because all you
Jasons don't you give me lip.
Broke.
There was like 7 Friday the 13ths in a row, and they just lost so much money on free sandwiches. And playing, I took a break from Fortnite because I leveled up as far as I could go. Like, I reached level 100 on my battle pass, and in order to get my there's additional bonus things when you reach level 100 that require you to get experience level 80. But in the entire process of getting my battle pass filled out, I only got to level 67. So the series, this season ends on Thursday. So I am not going to fucking jump an additional 20 levels in like 3 fucking days. So I just said, fuck it, whatever. And I picked up a game so that I could clear off my hard drive, the Telltale version of Game of Thrones. That's kind of interesting, but kind of not. I don't know that I'm built for these Telltale games. I remember liking The Walking Dead, the first one, a whole lot, and then thinking the second one wasn't as good, and I haven't even played the third or fourth. I feel like point-and-click games are not necessarily my forte. But once I clear it off, I also, because there's a was, at least, I think it's done now, a great sale going on the PSN, I picked up Until Dawn for $4, and Until Dawn is like a choose-your-own-adventure horror movie, which is so up my alley, it's fucking stupid that I haven't gotten it yet. So I'm excited to play that one. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of it. Chris, what about you? Watching, playing, reading?
Yeah, watching. I watched Justice League 2 again this weekend, and I kind of walked back my hate for it. It wasn't as bad, but it's still got enough bad stuff in it that I just shake my head at it. It's such missed opportunities. Especially Steppenwolf still makes me angry. While, like, I kind of found him more quotable this time around, and so he had some good lines. The fact that we never see Darkseid is such a huge disappointment. Like, those boom tubes come down so much. Like, at the end, you could at least see Darkseid on the other end, you know. So that was upsetting. I saw Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. That was dumb. Dumb, but, like, enjoyable enough. Like, it's a very B-movie. Have you guys seen that movie?
It's funny. Mm-hmm. I forgot. I did go see that.
You didn't see it, Jason?
I did not. I had the opportunity to see it, like, on Sunday, maybe. Okay. Some friends, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna fucking do this thing.
Just the twist it takes, it's just like, what this is, it's just so far off from what the original was, which is funny because, like, that's like the whole point of the movie. It's like Jeff Goldblum talking about how, like, you know, you can recreate this, but it's a bad idea, and, like, yeah, it is. This is a train wreck. So that was bad. So that's watching. Reading, I just finished the new issue of X-Men Blue, which I will give a positive review to, and you'll probably see that on the site if you're listening to this via the site. Reading, I just started Superior Foes of Spider-Man, the hardcover, in preparation for today's Amazing Spider-Man 1 by Nick Spencer. He's playing off some of the ideas he introduced in that run. So far, so good. And I've been catching up on a lot of stuff that I've been sitting around. I read a GQ magazine the other day. I read some free DC magazines I got at the comic store, so done with that. And then playing, I continue my addiction to Pac-Man on a Nintendo emulator on my laptop. So if I'm still awake when I'm, like, in bed late at night, I'll often play. And I've gotten better. So I've gotten to probably level 5 or 6. But man, those Pac-Man, it really picks up when you get that far. So I don't know how people beat it. But
you're now Steve Wiebe.
I'm not, no.
Well, wait, is Steve Wiebe the scumbag? I forget.
He's a King Kong guy or something?
The
or
King Kong.
Donkey Kong, what is the game?
King of Kong. But King he also Kong. He also set a record for Pac-Man, I believe.
Probably.
I don't know. I think most of his records have been broken, even though he's also been discredited.
Yeah, I know there's some controversy there around him. So that's what I've been up to.
I don't think that is Steve Wiebe. I think it's the other guy. I don't know. I don't remember the names. But you know what I do remember is that you are listening to Adventures in Pod Taste, the PC Comics podcast. And we thank you for making it this far in the show. We also want to thank our guests this evening. Chris Hassan, the bringer of Ross Marquand, and the master of Moon Knight. Chris, how can our listeners find you on the social medias and the what have yous?
On Twitter at Chris A. Hassan. Even though Dave apparently says I've changed my identity on Twitter.
Yes, your name is now Ray, apparently.
Okay.
And you're also a Russian bot, so.
No one understands that, but
no, yeah, we'll break it down real quick. I do run the AIPT Twitter, so I got a notification and it said that it's a girl avatar talking about I did X things today, like review a book, I exercised, I'm tired, but I'm still going to be on the podcast. I'm like, who the hell is this shit? So I have this dumbass Spider-Man picture that has him looking at the phone saying, new phone, who dis? And this is from, I think, one of the earlier Deadpool books where Deadpool's looking for help and he calls Spider-Man, and that's what Spider-Man does to him. He texts back. So it's funny, I kept that in case I get calls like that. And I replied like that, and of course they didn't answer, and we figured out it was all a joke, so...
But I did tweet that. So how did I become a bot?
I don't know.
Listeners, if you're out there, help us.
If you're out there stealing Chris's his identity, do better. You can
they want that. Ross Marquand hookup.
Yeah. You found out about his furry predilections tonight, so use that next time. Also want to thank my lovely co-host Dave. Dave, you've already kind of mentioned the AIPT podcast Twitter handle, but how can people find you elsewhere?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Psychotic, and that's spelled Sycotic.
And I am Jason. I'm on social media as Felix Lancaster. You can catch me on the bus more oftentimes. But you can also catch me recently on the Horror Movie Club podcast talking about what else? Friday the 13th. I kind of henpecked the hosts because they didn't like the movie because they just saw it for the first time. And it's like you can't expect to be too surprised at a movie that's 40 years old when it's literally been referenced and copied and remade several times over at this point. So I don't know. I'm not bitter about it or anything. But yeah. So cute.
If you like hearing Jason go after people on this show, check him out.
The thing is, it's all positive because I'm all like very laudatory of the series. So it's all a positive response as opposed to when I usually go after people on this show when it's negative. So
it's usually just me.
Yeah. No, if anyone goes after you on this show, it's probably more Hildy. But, that's his bag. He also hates The Thing.
He also hates you.
You know what? He doesn't hate. He doesn't hate the listeners, and we thank you for making it this far, especially those people out in like Russia and the various other
the people hacking my Twitter as we speak.
Yeah, don't dox me, Chris A. Hassan on Twitter. That's who you want to go for. But thank you for listening this far, listeners, and we'll catch you next time on Adventures in Pod Taste.
Good night, Japan.
Thank you, furries.
Don't thank.